Well, hello, I'm Paula James. I retired from the Open University about a year and a half ago now, but I'm still researching. I've finished, but I can't stop. I've worked quite a lot on Ovid and on Apuleius, and they both wrote very different books on metamorphoses. On Ovid, I might be known for writing about Ovid's myth of Pygmalion on screen, because over the years I've become very interested in cinematic versions of made-over and manufactured women, and the ethics and the aesthetics of creating some ideal, and the disappointment of getting what you want, which is the way it can turn out sometimes in more modern versions of Pygmalion and his statue, who seemed in Ovid to have a happy ending. The other thing I mentioned that I've been working on that's got terribly overlong, and I keep seeing it from different angles, is a myth in Ovid, again, book four, Saumarchus and Hermaphroditus. Well, Saumarchus is a naiad, a nymph of a pool, but she doesn't like to go hunting with Diana and the entourage of nymphs, who are her companions, her constant companions. She wants to stay by her pool and look at her reflection and do her hair. So she's not very sporty. And she sat doing this when a beautiful young man stumbles into her glade, and she's immediately, erotically fired up and starts making all kinds of suggestions to him in a very eloquent fashion. He's a bit of a, you know, he's just a young man. He's very nervous. Turns out to be the son of Venus and Mercury, but you wouldn't know that because, one, he's not very eloquent, which is what he should have got from his dad, and, two, he doesn't seem to know much about love. He's very untutored, and you would have thought, being the son of Venus, he might have known a bit about passion, but he doesn't seem to. So he actually says to Saumarchus, "Oh, keep away from me, you know, unhand me." And she says, "Oh, I'll leave. Don't you leave, I'll leave." And she goes and hides by her pool. And he looks at this lovely gleaming pool and decides he'd like a swim because it's a hot day. If you go walk about in Greece and you find a really nice place, what they call in Latin locus amoenus, it's always a bad idea to stick around because there's going to be something numinous or supernatural there. But silly young boy, he jumps in. Well, of course, because she's the naiad of the pool and she is the pool, he has accepted her seduction in another form. And lots have been written about this. She jumps in after him saying, "Oh, you know, I've won, he's mine," and struggles with him. And Ovid brings in several similes describing this struggle. And in the end, because he's still trying to get away from her, and you're never quite sure whether she's surrounding him as water or in her corporeal form, because she's corporeal and elemental, and she shouts out, "You wicked boy," and prays to the gods, "I'll never be parted." Unfortunately, you have to be very careful what you wish for, because this is a subverted prayer, and she and the boy become one, and they become the hermaphrodite. You can see where it's going. And the problem is, she's then doomed to perpetual frustration. She's like Narcissus, because she has what she wants, but she can't have sexual satisfaction out of what she wants. And the petulant, feminized boy that seems to emerge from the pool utters a curse upon the pool and asks his mum and dad, Venus and Mercury, if they'll make sure that any bather of the pool comes out enervated and feminized in future. And the pool is now murky, whereas before it was clear. So I feel, in spite of Saumarchus looking like the aggressor, looking like the one who's the victor, she ends up as a victim. Her pool's kind of been raped, she's been obliterated, she's disappeared as a conscious being. And he's kind of won, although he's clearly not a happy bunny either. But what I've been looking at from many different angles is, I did start with my usual thing, movies. Oh, I wonder if Sunset Boulevard by Billy Wilder is a little bit like a Saumarchus story. And thought, well, that's worth a footnote, but I'm not sure I could take it into an article. But looking at the way Saumarchus was depicted, it seems clear that she's got features of a hermaphrodite, of a double-sexed being, just as the boy seems to have. So they both have hermaphroditic, I don't think it's hermaphrodisiac, hermaphroditic characteristics ahead of becoming the hermaphrodite, which is interesting. But I was particularly interested in the similes, because the similes made you think of other parts of Ovid's canvas of transformations. And I think he's hinting she is going to suffer. She is going to be the victim. She's going to be like a lot of other women, nymphs, who are raped by gods or who get obliterated or who get transformed. And you think it might be a slightly different story because you've got a female who's sexually active and proactive. But actually, the similes suggest otherwise. And that got me interested in, well, we're always trying to visualise. We say, Ovid's very vivid, and couldn't he be cinematic? And let's visualise what's going on in these similes. One's about like a kind of an octopus surrounding the boy, and the other one's like some sort of plant. And it becomes very interesting because I think the similes are, as I say, directing you to other characters in Ovid's landscape, and suggesting that Salmacus is, like them, going to be a victim. So it's not so much you need to visualise them as think about them as a commentary. Yes, there are artistic representations in Renaissance and even into modern day. In fact, I went to a conference in Seattle on classics and feminism and classical myth last May 2016, and there was an exhibition called Just One Look, where people had artistically interpreted very many of the myths, especially in Ovid, and there were Salmacus and Hermaphroditus depicted in that as well. So there are artistic depictions, and as I say, I think there are possibly one or two movies where we could say there's something going on here. And funnily enough, the current series of Doctor Who, episode one, has a young girl who's so obsessed, intrigued with looking in a puddle. She is kind of colonised by this alien puddle, and she becomes water and pursues the new companion, who's a female called Bill in Doctor Who, pursues this Bill across time and space in the form of water and then in the form of a body. And I thought, ooh, Doctor Who and Salmacus, why not?